I think Group L won. I'm definitely looking forward to watching. I'm also looking forward to watching a little bit of French football this weekend. There's a big game coming up on Sunday night, and a man who's going to talk to me all about the comings and goings in French football as the transfer window winds down, the European football starts to begin properly, is a man who's joining me on the line right now, ready and waiting to talk all things French football. I'm delighted to say we're being joined today by our guest, Mr. Robin Berner from Goal.com. Robin, how are you today, mate? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Hope you are well on this day.
I'm very well, thanks, Ollie. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, very well indeed. Probably feeling a little better than the Marseille squad after their draw in the Champions League yesterday. A very difficult draw indeed for them.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, Marseille are a team who probably performed above expectations last season to finish so highly in league. And they would have gone into the Champions League quite confident of at least making third place in their group, because they've signed well this summer. They're playing a sort of more attacking brand of football. They're looking quite good at the moment. So to be hit with a group with Arsenal, Borussia Dortmund and Napoli, it's very complicated for them. It's going to be very difficult for them to even get third now.
Is that what they're fighting for? Or will Marseille still realistically think that there is a chance that they can get a qualifying position for the knockout stage?
No, I think they will certainly feel that they've got a chance of qualifying to the knockout stage. Their first game is at home against Arsenal, and I think that's going to have a very big bearing on their whole tournament. If they can get a positive result against Arsenal, which, given the way Arsene Wenger's sides look at the moment, that's not an impossibility. If they can get a positive result there, then they'll feel quite confident going into their next games.
It's a very difficult group, and especially when you compare it to Group C that PSG have been drawn in, this looks surely like it's going to be a walk in the park for the Parisian giants.
Well, I think in theory it probably should be. Benfica are a team who should probably never be underestimated, but it's very difficult to see PSG being troubled, or and certainly in the long term. They may have a hiccup or two along the way, but you know, you'd expect them to go through and win the group quite comfortably, and which would obviously set them up very nicely for the knockout stages. That's what they really want to do now.
What are their realistic goals for the Champions League this year? You know, they came ever so close to putting Barca out last season, and is this a year that PSG will be saying our goal is to win this thing, or is it to get further into the semi-finals and that's good enough?
Well, when you spent the kind of money that PSG has spent over the last two or three years, I think the goal has to be to ultimately win the Champions League. And I think there'll be a feeling in the French capital that they've amassed a squad that is capable of winning the competition. However, I think their main objective will be to surpass what they did last year. I think certainly getting to the semi-finals would be seen as a success, although, you know, they will certainly feel that they have a shot at winning the competition as a whole. Although they will need to improve, you know, rather drastically on how they've played so far this season.
I was going to say, their league form, we've spoken about it on the show with you and others as well, about the slow start. Many people saying it's acceptable, PSG always starts slow, but it has been disappointing for them in the first three games.
Yeah, I mean, this PSG team's a very different PSG team from the ones in the past, and that, you know, they spent so much money, the expectation levels on the club are so high at the moment. Although I think it's also worth considering their sort of shambolic summer. They took so long in deciding to appoint Laurent Blanc as a coach. You know, he only came in a day before pre-season training was due to begin, which was really not ideal. And that impacted on their whole summer transfer campaign, which, you know, they'll probably feel should have gone a little bit more smoothly. They've maybe not quite made the progress that they'd like to have made in the summer. And I think it's now that they're starting to pay for that.
With Blanc being there, and of course a number of those players thought it was going to be Ancelotti, is there still a bit of unrest because of Ancelotti's departure within the squad, do you think, at Paris Saint-Germain?
I don't get that impression. You feel that the squad seems to be fairly settled. They all seem to be pulling in the same way at the moment. Ibrahimovic came out and said, I think it was earlier this morning or yesterday, that it didn't matter if he didn't score again all season. If they won the Champions League, that would be worth it. So I think there is a team ethic there, but I certainly think that it's been disrupted somewhat by the events of the summer and Carlo Ancelotti leaving for Real Madrid.
Do you buy that from Zlatan, though? I mean, we know the kind of guy that he is. He loves to be the centre of attention, and there was all this speculation about Cavani's arrival. Would that upset him? I mean, do you really buy those sorts of comments?
Well, I think there were signs last week again in the match against Nantes, which PSG ultimately came through to win 2-1, that the combination between Ibrahimovic and Cavani could be successful. Although Ibrahimovic didn't score, he managed to get an assist for Cavani. Maybe not in the long is what Ibrahimovic wants, but in the short term, it might be something that he's prepared to put up. So for one season only, maybe he'll survive.
We'll talk about the Ligue 1 fixtures for the weekend in just a second, because of course we've had the Europa League draw as well today. Lyon, who went out of the Champions League qualifiers in midweek to Real Sociedad, they'll be very disappointed to be playing in the Europa League, and especially getting drawn against Real Betis in their group as well. But ultimately, a big disappointment that they weren't able to get past Sociedad in midweek.
Yeah, I think it was. I think perhaps the greatest disappointment in terms of Lyon's performance was just how far behind Sociedad they were. They probably should have run the Spaniards significantly closer. Although they've got a young team, they've got a capable team, and I don't think they really showed that in either of the legs, really. They're really badly lacking a striker, and I think personally that's one of the major reasons behind their struggles so far.
Not the inexperience then as well, though. I mean, you mentioned it's a young side, and that kind of, we've seen Dortmund, for instance, struggle with that lack of experience in Champions League football. Was that a big factor too, do you think, Rob?
I certainly think it was a factor, but for me, I think the lack of a focal point to their attack was more of a problem. Also, the fact that Clément Grenier didn't perform as well as he could in the first leg, I certainly think that might have been due to inexperience. That might just have been due to having an off night. He's been so integral to Lyon's play for probably the last 6 months. They rely on him so much through the middle, and if he's not playing well, then the whole squad tends to struggle. And, you know, I think that was certainly evident in midweek.
Will the emphasis for Lyon be on getting back in the Champions League, and will they be too worried about the Europa League this season, do you think?
Financially, they should be, because they're a team who are having to cut back quite significantly. They're moving into a new stadium in a few years' time, and that's causing them a lot of problems in terms of funding their wage bill, which is why you're seeing so many players linked away from the club, either linked or having moved away in the last 6 months to a year. Playing in the Europa League is obviously not the same financial draw as playing in the Champions League, and that's certainly a very big problem for them, particularly as they'll struggle badly to get back into the Champions League next season. So I think in the long term, you might see a bit of a decline in Lyon's fortunes over the next few years.
And Bordeaux as well, of course, drawn against Apoel Frankfurt and Maccabi Tel Aviv. Another crack at the whip, if you will, for the Europa League, and to see how far they can go this season.
Yeah, that's right. Bordeaux are another team who have had to cut back financial constraints, so they're just happy to be in Europe, I guess. They certainly stretch their squad, because they don't have a particularly deep panel of players to choose from, and it might cause them problems in the league. Obviously, progressing in Europe's got a cachet about it that's important for the club, but I think in the long term, their league form has to come first.
You think about kind of sides having to travel for European games and how much of an impact it can have on it, and of course the Maccabi Tel Aviv game is a long way for them to go, but in terms of Apoel and Frankfurt, it's not too far. It's not as bad as it could have been, you know, with Bordeaux based in the south of France.
Yeah, that's right, and in that regard I don't think they'll be particularly concerned. Obviously the match in Israel is not ideal for them. But certainly Frankfurt particularly is a nice, relatively short trip, which shouldn't cause them too many problems. And I think Francis Schiele will be fairly pleased with the draw, although it will throw up the odd banana skin.
Will he be expecting to top the group, or will he just be happy to get through and get into the knockout stages? Or will that be considered inferior to a target to compare to league form?
Well, I think Bordeaux will certainly try to make progress in the competition, but last season they showed that they were prepared to rotate their squad quite heavily in the Europa League, and I think they'll probably take that tack again. In the big games, I think you can expect them to use all of their main players, but as soon as the importance of the game depreciates a bit, then the squad players will start to come in a bit more, and that will probably be particularly noticeable in Israel when it's obviously the longer trip. The better players will be preserved from the league.
And the league action coming up this weekend, there's a big game on Sunday night in France, Robin. Of course, Marseille taking on Monaco. Monaco stumbled for the first time last week against Toulouse, and Marseille 9 points from their first three games of the season. Perfect for them so far. It's not Marseille against PSG, but how does this rate as a big game in French football at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment, this is certainly a very big game. Like you say, it's not quite Marseille PSG, and it's probably behind PSG Monaco as well. So it's certainly one of the biggest games, and it's undoubtedly the biggest game so far this season. It'll be an important staging point for Monaco, just to see how far they are either behind or in front of one of their major title rivals, especially since they are going to Stade Vélodrome on Sunday. It promises to be a very difficult game for them, and it will be a real test of their championship mettle.
It's not been the easiest start, though, for Monaco. They've had Montpellier, former Ligue 1 winners 2 years ago, and they've had Bordeaux as well, a Europa League side. It is, though, testing that upper level, as you say, Robin. How do you expect them to do against Marseille?
I think it's quite difficult to tell. I mean, they'll certainly be very competitive, and they certainly should start as maybe marginal favourites to win the match, even though they're away from home. Marseille do tend to perform quite well at home, but they're noted for making the odd slip-up. Marseille have certainly struggled a little bit more this season than they did last defensively, which obviously with the likes of Radamel Falcao, Monaco are perfectly capable of exploiting. And they'll also have Joao Moutinho back in their team for this match. This will be the first, he's expected to be in the squad. And this could be his debut, which will obviously be a big boost to their midfield. So I think you should consider Monaco to be marginal favourites at the start of the game. Although I think it's really a match that could be decided on a coin toss. I think it will be very close. It should be quite exciting. It should certainly be one of the best games to watch in Europe this weekend.
Is it going to be an attacking game then? You think both sides will be going for it from the get-go rather than what we saw maybe between Manchester United and Chelsea in terms of two sides sitting off slightly?
Yeah, it will certainly be more attacking than Manchester United and Chelsea. But I think Monaco will be making most of the play. This season they've certainly shown an appetite to really take the game to opponents. Marseille, I would imagine, they'll be a bit more pragmatic. Their coach, Eli Bott, tends to be a little bit more defensive. And I think in a match like this, he'll be maybe taking a safety-first approach. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Marseille perhaps even playing more like an away team on Sunday and trying to hit on the break with Payet and Valbuena.
Sorry, Robin, we just lost you there for a second. Can you just repeat that?
Sorry, I didn't say anything.
Oh, it's okay. No worries. I thought we just lost you there for a second. We've talked about Bordeaux just very quickly as well. They've got a very interesting game against Saint-Étienne coming up this weekend. And Saint-Étienne, of course, lost Aubameyang over the summer. There was a lot talked about Saint-Étienne towards the end of the season about how good a side they could be. How have you rated their start to this season? Have they found a replacement for Aubameyang?
Well, on the left, they've got Franck Tabanou, who's come in from Toulouse and has actually looked very good. He's a very attacking player, but he doesn't provide the same goal threat as Aubameyang, which is certainly detracted from their team. I think that was particularly noticeable as they went out of the Europa League. They dominated the two legs, but really struggled to score goals, especially last night when they lost 1-0. They dominated the match. And they just couldn't find the extra finishing touch they needed. So in that regard, they've certainly failed to replace Aubameyang. However, they're in the market for another central centre forward. They're looking at Mevlut Erding and perhaps Park Chu-young from Arsenal, which would both provide good backup to Brandao, who continues to be a fairly effective player for them through the centre. on the whole, their squad as a whole seems to have improved. However, the loss of Aubameyang's perhaps taken away just a little bit of crucial edge that they perhaps might need in the bigger games this season, and that may be where they suffer the most.
There's always talking points in Liga, and Robin, we always appreciate you having a chat with us about the ongoings as we look at PSG Monaco and, of course, the group behind that are looking to stay close on the tails of those two big money sides in French football. Robin, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today, mate. We look forward to having a chat with you later on and, of course, analysing how the French sides do in Europe as well with those Champions League draws and Europa League draws over the last couple of days.
Many thanks, Ollie. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, Robin. Take care and have a great day, mate. Big thanks there to Robin Berner for joining us here on World Football Daily, talking about all things French football and giving us his thoughts on the chances of those Champions League sides in from France after the draw yesterday. Joining me, as always, at this moment of the day is Mr.